This is the Tribe and Dish Podcast. Talking about NBA news, stats, and fantasy. To start it off, it's Tim Tompkins.
His shooting percentage is down. He doesn't look good on the court. We all know the crap that happened over the summer. He's disgruntled. They traded his brother. They were trying to replace him with LaMarcus Aldridge. We get it.
Kevin Rayfuse.
Good, but I don't want to be stuck in the limbo of mediocrity. I don't want to gamble that maybe one day there's a Harden trade out there. I don't want to gamble that some team is going to be stupid and let a Steve Nash walk out the door and go to Phoenix the way Dallas did, where you stumble upon a superstar.
And Justin Kuzak.
They've got Batum, Lamb, Jeremy Lin, Spencer Hawes. They're up to about 35% as a team, which is actually 13th in the NBA. And Nicholas Batum is playing like an all-star right now.
Well, if you like that, you're going to love this.
Well, if anything, this is the point where we all sit there and get real excited.
Let's do this!
Let's go.
So the hype around America this week. God. Unfortunately, our international listeners can't take part in this bonanza. But the Powerball lottery jackpot has now reached, as of today, and we know when this episode drops Monday, somebody could have won, or somebody may not have won.
We could have won.
You're right. If you don't hear from us, we won.
Yeah, this episode, if you don't, well, I guess, never if you don't hear us saying
well,
this.
Well, it'll continue. It just may take, like, a little bit of a hiatus. But anyway,
I'd buy a team.
I'd probably be off the grid. Nah, I don't think you'd have enough money to buy a team.
I'd legally change my name.
I feel like I could buy a cheap team.
The Clippers sold for 1.5. Even Milwaukee just sold for 550, and they're one of the smaller teams. Like,
I feel at this point, you probably buy the Pelicans for relatively inexpensive.
Either way, you're talking like you're going to spend all the money you make on this. But anyway, the money you'd make on this is the Powerball jackpot, which is now, as of recording this, was over nine. That you could be a partial owner over $900 million dollars.
Is he really?
Yeah.
All right, $900 million.
$900 million.
What would you like? Who would be the first person you would call when you realized you won $900 million?
I would take my cell phone and I'd throw it in a lake.
Really?
Oh God, I wouldn't call anyone.
Yeah, you'd have to get a new number immediately. You'd call a lawyer.
I would call a lawyer.
I'd call a lawyer
because you got to make sure everything's locked in. And so then this is the other thing: is how far down the family line do you now, quote unquote, kind of owe money to them?
Nobody. Immediate.
Only immediate. So my mom, my dad, my brothers. Mm-hmm. After that, go screw yourself.
I mean, for me, I have family that I would help out, but like I wouldn't go crazy. Like most of it would be centered on my immediate, and maybe my grandma too, and my, because like I have a really small family. I'm talking I have like one uncle that I really see frequently, and his wife, and one cousin that I see frequently at this point. So it wouldn't be like I wouldn't have like 30 people lining up. But I would, I call a lawyer and I drive home and tell to Pennsylvania and tell my parents. But I wouldn't. I'd throw my phone in a lake.
So then the other thing is a lot of work companies. What they do is they'll do like a work pool. Everybody gives in $20,
right?
And then they go and buy however much they can with that, and then the winnings would be distributed between the people. And I was thinking, like, if I worked at a place that gave $20. And I didn't go in, and everybody I worked with just won millions of dollars, I would have to quit. I would have to quit and become homeless and live in the woods somewhere. Because
you're going to find Justin in like a remote Buddhist temple in like Nepal or something.
You'd have to just meditate on that for years because you just didn't
I would need Jesus or some kind
you would
of
not,
religion.
Yeah, $20. You did not give $20 and everybody you work with did and won millions.
Well, we talked about this in the office, and you know, certain people are like, I just bounce out, I'd be gone. I can tell you that if I won that money, it was just me by myself, like not having pooled. I'd quit my job, obviously.
I feel like,
But I would buy every single person I work with like a brand new BMW and then peace out.
Oh, I do some dope things. I think for the first, well, that's awesome, by the way.
And that wouldn't even put like anything close to a dent.
Right.
Well, I think for the first few months, I would just kind of go off the grid. And then
you have to.
Right.
Yeah, and you then really have to
disappear. But then I'm saying when I come back is when I, you know, basically people would get sweet gift packages from me.
Yeah.
Something like, you know, a car and a sweet watch or something mm-hmm. like that. And that's how they'd know I'd won it. And I'd basically give them like a burner number and say, you are legally obligated to not give this out. And like, this is how you can contact me. And I'm only giving you this number.
The one of the guys we work with said that if I didn't put in $20 into our work pool and they won, he would just every day he would quit. But every day he would come in and leave a dollar on my desk just to remind me that I did not win with them. And I was like, all right, fine. Here's $20. Like, let me know if we win.
Oh man,
but it's like it's so much.
Well, the odds to win the Powerball, to win the jackpot, are 1 in 292 million, which mm-hmm. I learned from a story that we read on air at work
yep.
this week. That is like trying to flip a coin and landing on heads 28 straight times.
Right.
So
it can be done.
But well, that's the thing. My thing is it's $2 for a Powerball ticket, and I could win 900 million. And with 700 million, if you took lump sum, they give you about 450. And after taxes, thankfully in Florida, I didn't know this, there's no lottery tax, so we wouldn't get state taxed on it at all.
Nice.
But after federal taxes, mind you, this is when it was at 700, so it's going up to 900.
Yeah.
You'd still walk away with like $284 billion. And you have to be a real jackass to blow $285 million.
Yeah, that would be really hard.
It would be really hard. And this is what I told my girlfriend is, if I win, the first thing after I call the lawyer and all that stuff, I'm calling her. I'm going to Google the most expensive restaurant in the world. We are going to go there, and we are going to get food.
Really? If you won that much money, you wouldn't just leave your girlfriend?
No, I would not do that. That's awful.
Wow.
It's like that guy in the interview, the news interview. She asked the guy what he would do, and he's like, I would blow it all on hookers and cocaine.
Yeah, just straight up.
Like
that's,
wow.
That's the first thing I do is buy hookers and cocaine. But if you're that rich, and we talked about this before, you don't actually need to buy hookers.
Yeah, no, they're just going to come.
You don't think you'd keep your girlfriend?
I wasn't saying me. I was asking Justin.
No, I'm kidding. But no, I would not leave my girlfriend.
You got to keep the chick that was down with you before you had money.
The other chicks weren't with me when I was shooting in the gym.
So that's
actually brings me back to something I was thinking about before. And you know, there's a lot of NBA players, Kevin Durant, namely, who's coming up this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are like, he wants to return home. But there's also the flip side of the argument where when you return home, you're a millionaire
yeah.
now. You have all those homies, all those buddies, all those kids you grew up with, all those friends, everybody you ever saw one
time
in a grocery
store. They were there for you.
That are going to hit you up when you're home. And so there's that dichotomy of players not necessarily wanting to go back into that.
So this is I was watching an ESPN 30 for 30 on a basketball player for the Celtics. I can't remember his name. But he had a drug.
Paul Pierce.
He had drug addiction.
Vin Baker.
I can't remember his name. I even if you said it, I wouldn't know.
Isaiah Thomas.
No. And
no, Isaiah
so
Thomas is a drug addiction.
How do you know? Do you know him?
He's not.
He's deserving anything of that.
No, but he's playing really well this year. He grew up in Boston and then ended up, I think, on the Nuggets. But then the Nuggets traded him to Boston. And when he was on the Nuggets, he was really good because he was away from everything. He wasn't doing drugs. And then he got traded home. And when
yep.
he went home, the drugs and all that came back into his life.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of went downhill and got in some trouble.
Oh, you got to keep if you have that much money, your circle has to be the tightest.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you go to your rookie camp or whatever, when all the rookies are drafted and they have to, the league does that thing for like a week. And I wish I knew what it was called off the top of my head. I don't. Regardless, all the rookies have to go to this camp. And a lot of what they're talking to the rookies about is, this is how you have to live your life now that all of a sudden you have this money. You have to
right.
get rid of these people. They tell you how to
and actually,
make sure that you don't get women pregnant because women will do that.
Yes. Well, and this is, and I think, Kevin, you sent me the article that Elton Brand wrote a really great article.
Yeah, on the Cauldron.
About how he is excited to go to the Sixers to pass all this information that he was taught when he was coming into the NBA, playing wise and things like that. Like, you got to be careful when you're out.
My favorite part was he said if there were camera phones when he, Ron Artest,
yeah.
and Brad Miller were rookies, they would have been thrown out of the league.
Yeah.
So I need to read about that in an Elton Brand biography. But one thing I do if I won $900 million is build us a studio for this podcast, which you're listening to, the Drive-In Dish NBA podcast. My name is Kevin Rafuse. Joining me to my left, my co-host, Tim Tompkins.
Ball don't lie.
And behind the boards, keeping us honest as always, our producer, Justin Cousart.
Hey, people really think Blake Griffin better Draymond Green, ? Y'all crazy.
I know this one, too. I know it. I saw the tweet.
Yep.
I saw the tweet. Oh, man. I can't remember. Who is it?
His at is, think I'm in the 90s, if that helps you at all.
Nope.
Brandon Jennings.
Ah, that was it. Brandon Jennings, yes.
Yep.
Yes.
He also had a grammatical error in there, so I didn't fix it.
I don't think you're one to talk.
Nope, not at all. Literally not, though. Hey, it's okay.
No. I mean, we love Justin here, but the grammatical errors, that's not like your strongest.
You want to know why?
Yeah, I just want to go squeeze headshots out.
You want to know why, though? When I was in elementary school, the school I have a learning disability, so I wasn't able to pick up on it as quick. So that whole No Child Left Behind, I was one of those kids that they were just like, all right, well, screw him. Like, we're going to move on without him. But the teacher literally told my mom, there's going to be the internet, so he won't have a problem with spelling or grammar. Right. So there you go. Yeah. And they literally, like, it was until,
so
like...
So you learned all this years after everybody
else,
basically.
Once I graduated high school, my mom told me, and she's like, it's one of my biggest regrets is not having them just actually teach you. And I was like, well, you know, thanks.
Man. that got kind of dark.
Life's hard for everybody. Take a number, stand in line.
Exactly. But we brought the mood down a little bit, so let's bring it back up, hopefully.
No, we are this week. We are bringing it up.
We love to give a shout out to some of our listeners that show us love on iTunes and leave us a review. So this week we got one from...
Yeah, this one's from the UK. It is a 5-star review called Cool Guys by Heat Lifer Baby. Wonder what team he roots for. So Heat Lifer Baby says, enjoying every podcast.
He's probably a Pistons fan.
Is he talking about every podcast or every one of our episodes? I mean, there's a lot. That could be a really broad statement.
Every podcast that's ever been made, he enjoys.
There's some pretty poor podcasts out there.
That would take a lot of time. I don't think that's possible.
It's not.
But no. That's all he said?
Yeah. That was the review.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh,
man,
that's great. Sweet and to the point, yeah. I think.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Why don't we get some news?
Yeah. Tell me something I do not know. Do not know. Now.
If you do not know the present, how can you claim to know the future?
Now on NBA News on the Drive and Dish podcast.
We need to know now.
All right, first in your news, the Suns have waived Bryce Cotton and Corey Jefferson. Ty Lawson has been suspended 3 games without pay by the NBA for his DUI charge in California. Lawson was previously suspended this season for a prior DUI arrest. The Nuggets have released Kostas Papanikolaou to avoid guaranteeing the balance of his contract for next season. It's been reported that the Lakers may retire both number 8 and number 24 for Kobe Bryant. As you know, Kobe won 3 titles wearing number 8 and 2 more with 24 while also winning an MVP. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist insists that he is going to return this season. The original timetable for his recovery was about 6 months. Damari Carroll underwent knee surgery. He had missed previous games with a swollen right knee. They did not give a timetable for his return. Carroll has averaged 11.7 points, 4.8 rebounds in 31 minutes in 23 games this season. It's been rumored that DeMar DeRozan is going to opt out of his contract, although he does say he feels loyal to the Raptors. His contract that he will opt out of is a $10 million contract for next season. And lastly in your news, the Nets have fired Lionel Hollins and Billy King has stepped down as the GM. Mark Jackson is expected to make a push for the job. Jackson has been interested in the job in the past. And that's your news for this week.
Something.
So December 15th came and went, and a lot of people in the NBA thought there was going to be a trade. There were a bunch of rumors that were going around, and it turns out not really a lot happened.
It's been quiet. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's been the surprise, or well, not the surprise, I guess, but just the theme of any trade talks, you know, this year is they just haven't really happened.
You know why I think that is? Is because the East is so close. They don't want to, like some teams want to trade and get that one player that would make them better and put them farther into the playoff conversation. But also, like, if you do that, chemistry can get messed up, and it's so close that you could just immediately be out of the playoff picture.
Well, the West is really close, too. Yeah. So the Suns, who are playing terribly right now, they're like 13-26 or something. They're only 5 games out of the playoffs.
Right.
So the Pelicans, who are down at the bottom. So you have that. But you also have part of the reason why I think, and some other people think as well, that a lot of these trades didn't happen is because there's also a January 15th date, and that is there were certain players that were signed a certain part during the summer, and they aren't available for trade until January 15th.
And so, waiting for all that.
Yeah, so a lot of teams were waiting, and I guess we wanted to start this off with talking about trade exceptions, because figuring out which teams have what trade exceptions is really important when it comes to the trade market. There's a few teams, like the Cavaliers have... what, like a $10 million trade exception right now?
And there's actually, I want to bring that up a little later, because there's a specific player that I think they might use that on, and it involves your Suns.
Oh, good.
So we'll see what happens there.
Process language.
Exactly. But the other thing that's interesting is I was reading up on trade exceptions is, you know, even though they have a bunch of trade. They can't combine the trade exceptions to, like, you know, Oklahoma City has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different exceptions, but they can't combine them all to get one player for all those salaries combined.
And that's too bad.
Which would be awesome.
Could make the NBA a lot more fun.
That'd be right. So silly.
Wouldn't that be weird?
It'd be insane.
Yeah, but so, you know, it's interesting to see, but it looks like the Cavs do have a lot to work with, but they might not do anything also because they're also very high over the salary cap in general.
Well, I guess the question for
And they're very good.
And they're very good.
Well, the question I have for you guys, I guess, is, you know, the trade deadline itself, it's about a month off. February 19th is the trade deadline. And, you know, do you guys think that, you know, last year's trade deadline was bananas. Right. I mean, you even had,
I remember that. That was so
I mean, you
fun.
Even had Woj on Twitter. And for me, it was great because I was off at noon and I was just sitting on my couch and I was just watching it explode. It was like the world just flipped upside down. I mean, even Woj, when Adrian Wojnarowski during breaking news tweets, "Good Lord, this is insane," then it's like, holy crap, this is like historically nuts. But I guess, do you think it's going to be that kind of last minute this year, or do you kind of expect it to kind of trickle down? And
well, last year
have
was
a
record.
Gradual moves.
There was like a record amount of moves. I don't remember what they were exactly, but there were
22 of them, 21 of them.
Yeah, there was a record amount of moves.
Well, so many of them came out of nowhere. It just seemed like we had no indication that, like, you know, the Michael Carter Williams trade, for example, that was just like,
whoa,
like, where did this come from?
I don't think so, and I don't think so because with the cap going up and the GMs not really having a clear understanding of the cap because it's going to go up and then it might go back down. It seems like GMs might be a little bit more careful about how they allocate money going into this trade deadline as compared to other ones. Also, because the cap is going up, maybe they can keep some of those salaries that would look worse if the cap wasn't going up.
Well, and there was a lot of talk I was looking at with players that they do think might move. It's a lot of players that are in like the last year of their contract, so it's more teams bringing them on for their last year and then possibly getting out of having that money in general
locked up. Well, we didn't really bring up the trade exceptions yet. Do you want to list a few of the teams with some sizable trade exceptions?
Okay. You said the Cavs, right, with the Brendan Haywood trade exception, which is about $10 million.
Right.
You know, honestly, though, a lot of them... Cleveland's got the biggest with $10 million. The Warriors have almost a $6 million one from David Lee. The Magic have Mo Harkless's trade exception, which is about almost $2 million. Oklahoma City actually has a lot. They have Luke Ridenhour's, Reggie Jackson's, Perry Jones, Lance Thomas, and Ish Smith. So they might be able to do something. Actually, Ish Smith is on like three different. Except they
are. How many is Luke Ridenhour on?
Oh, no.
I see him twice here. I haven't even started with it.
Dude, poor Luke Ridenhour, man.
That was speaking of the last trade deadline. He moved like 6 times in 4 hours or 3 days or something.
Wait, hold on,
was
ready? We can do this.
No idea what team he was on. Poor guy. And then he just ended up not being on any team.
He's on 5.
I hope he didn't just actually move every single time that he heard about one of these trades.
3. Okay, he's on there 3 times.
Okay,
3 full times for the Hornets, the Grizzlies, and Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
Zaza Pachulia's got one pretty big for the Bucks. They have almost 6,000 to work with. Because the thing with trade exceptions,
$6 million.
Yeah. The thing with trade exceptions is you're allowed to go 100,000. You're allowed to go over their trade exception. So you have a little wiggle room with players there. But this is what I was looking at, and it's actually a mailbag question. But I want to say it now because I think it'll sound smarter if I say it now.
Okay.
And then if I wait.
That's what's important.
Exactly. So one of the things that they brought up is what if the Cavs somehow traded with the Suns for Markieff Morris? They'd use the trade the player exception to bring him in, obviously, because what I think he's owed like seven.
I think Woj brought this up and he was talking about because the Cavs have, well, you know, if you base all of this off their one Christmas Day game when they put Kevin Love on the floor and they were playing against the Warriors, they did not look good with their small ball lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And the basic concept behind this is kind of a limited sample size, but when Markieff Morris is guarded Draymond Green, that's roughly 44 minutes, I think it is, which is about what a one-on-one player would be doing during a playoff series, that he's basically stopped Draymond Green from doing much of anything.
Mm-hmm.
So the theory is that the Cavs trade for Markieff Morris, and with LeBron James' leadership and all the other guys on
calms
the team,
calms him
that
down a little bit.
Calms
yeah.
him down, and that when they go into the playoffs, you know, playing against the Warriors, if we do get that matchup, that they're going to be better suited to play small ball, which is interesting. And I,
but who would the Suns try to get from them. Like, I know they talked about Tristan Thompson is now starting at center for the past few games. So
yeah, and he's been a he looks a lot better than Mozgov at center.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Mozgov has kind of just gone down to not playing many minutes at all.
Well, it was a few episodes ago. You were talking about the ESPN stat line that he played like 10 minutes and ended up with like 0-0-0.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely
he
nothing.
A seven. I forget. It was something about seven categories with zero in it.
Right.
So.
Just, man.
You know, I don't know, thinking about the...
Like, who would the Suns even really want?
You know, I mean, the Suns need a power forward. They don't want any of those power forwards, not for that kind of money.
Right.
They need a small forward, but they want to develop TJ Warren. So, what small forward on the Cavs roster do you want apart from LeBron James, honestly?
Well, this is what I was also going to bring up is I was reading up on why they thought Keefe hadn't moved in general.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're saying is, you know, the salary cap is jumping up, and we talked to Keith, and he has a great article. So I was looking at all of his articles where they're saying if every free agent did not come back to those teams, they had a certain amount of money to work with. Keefe needs, I think he's $7.4 million next year. So for a lot of teams, the problem that happens is they bring in Keefe, they owe him that $7.4 million, and that brings them just under the ability to give a max contract.
Right.
So for teams like, just to use this as an example, for teams like the Wizards, then they wouldn't be able to throw the max contract at Kevin Durant.
Yeah,
and then that wouldn't
even have anybody that I mean,
right.
The cap space is every team's going to have cap space, so it's never been as least valuable going into this. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, if we're going to start on Keith, but I kind of want to start with buyers and sellers, so we'll get to that after this.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, teams that are trying to acquire Keith are asking for an asset
mm-hmm.
to go along with it, whether that be a pick or Archie Goodwin or something.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're the Suns, once you start having 3-4 teams line up to try and get him, you might as well wait for the best offer. And, you know, if you look at the Suns' season, the season's over.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, there's no point in moving him right away. You have until February. See what offers you can get. Just don't play the guy. Like, the season's over anyway.
Well, and just, like, the thing is, you don't want to sell, you know, Keefe's value in the past few weeks has just been so low. You know, you want to get something back for it.
Right, you don't want to have to give up an asset to move a good player. That doesn't, on a good contract, like, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
right.
Well, especially his contract. Keefe's contract, just, I know he's got headaches, but that contract is just so much value for the quality of play. It's just, you know, if you can get it out of Keefe. And that's been, we know it's been the issue with the Suns recently. But let's get into buyers and sellers. Let's not waste any more time. We've been talking about trade exceptions for a while. So, I mean, let's look at the conferences. Justin mentioned it earlier in the intro. The conferences this year are so incredibly close, especially in the East, but even in the West. I mean, the difference between these two, and we're going to talk about this a little bit in the mailbag coming up in later on in the episode. But I guess, you know, who do you expect? You know, who are some teams that stand out immediately? I mean, I guess let's talk about buyers first. You know, what teams do you guys think are in the market right now to be buyers?
I think the Rockets.
You think the Rockets?
Yeah, I think the Rockets. I think Charlotte's
going to be
right
there.
I feel like
the Rockets are more selling, like getting rid of.
Well, they
want
to salvage. I'm thinking about teams that want to salvage a season for themselves. So
okay.
You could look at it with the Rockets that way.
Maybe the Knicks too, buyers.
Yeah, I think they're looking for a point guard.
Mm-hmm.
I think Charlotte, especially with that,
injuries.
You know, what they've, as of recording this episode, they've lost five straight. They're, you know, three of their best players have been injured this year.
They're 2-8 in their last 10.
Yeah, so that, you know, they've been looking really bad. I think Utah should at least be looking for that point guard.
You think the Clippers maybe trying to bring in some?
I mean, I don't know what the Clippers can do.
See, this is what I was thinking, and not to get too into it, but a lot of people are talking about trying to send Lance Stephenson to the Nets and bring Joe Johnson over.
Yeah, Joe Johnson's contract. So I saw this. I tried to put it through the trade machine.
It doesn't work?
No, it's like $24 million. There's like, how many teams can swallow this right now?
Right.
The Sixers and the Lakers. It's
there's a lot of
$24 million. They can't take them if they want them.
The theory behind it, though, is good because Lance Stephenson could go to the Nets net. Don't really have a point guard, so Lance can be the ball dominant person, but it's more I was worried about the contracts because that's just how it is. But
yeah, you're looking at $24 million versus $8 million.
Mm-hmm.
See, If I'm the Nets too, and not to interrupt there, but
you did.
But if I'm the Nets, like, the Nets have to be, like, I know you want to move Joe Johnson, but the Nets to me, like, they have to be buying. No, you're giving up the first round pick this year to Boston, and I mean right now that's looking like a top three pick. If you're the Nets, I know it's
you got to win.
You just got to win. You can't give up a top three pick to a division rival. And now that with Jared Jack now done for the year with a torn ACL, they got to go get a point guard.
Yeah.
Rondae Hollis-Jefferson still recovering from his ankle surgery. I mean, you need to go out there and get a point guard, but
the problem with that,
what are you going to do? What, you could go out there and get Brandon Jennings. He's on the market probably. Maybe you could get Michael Carter-Williams if the Bucks feel like that experiment hasn't worked out. But what other point guards are reasonably available?
But then, even looking at that, if there is one available, how do you get them? If you're the Nets, how do you do that?
Bogdanovich is basically if you aren't willing to trade Lopez, you aren't willing to trade Thad Young, then you have Bogdanovich.
And actually, so then maybe Jeremy Lin, because I know Charlotte was interested in
Jeremy Lin's been one of their best players. I don't know that they would move Lin.
Him.
I mean, Lin in that second unit has been incredibly valuable, and with Nick Batum going through some injury issues right now too, like I think it was. Charlotte, there's no reason for Charlotte to move their second ball handler.
Right. And I know we talked with Keith last week, and he said that the Magic are kind of in a win now thing, but I don't really see them trying to bring in a player unless there's someone really great that they can get.
Well, the Magic have young assets.
Exactly.
So it's such a young core. There's not, I mean, I would, if I'm the Magic personally, I would try to get Tobias Harris off the books, but.
Well, they just signed him. Like, they're high on the kid.
I know. And
well,
I
and
know
they talked about
on,
how.
I personally am not that high on his fit with the team. I know. See, Keith remember, is the same way, but they clearly are not going to move him. That's
right.
Just a hypothetical.
But remember what Keith said is his contract goes down as the years pass. So by
same
the time
with Channing Frye.
Right. So in a few years from now, he'll be tradable.
Oh,
if they don't
like it's
more
about repetitive fit for me than anything. It's not about the fact that I think he's a bad player. It's just I think it gets old after a while, and I think he's preventing guys like Hezonja and Aaron Gordon from getting into the lineup more, who I think is more of your future if you're trying to build a long-term championship team. But no, going back to Tim's point, because we strayed off Houston somehow in a big way.
He just got distracted.
I agree too. Houston, to me, they just have to figure out what they're going to do, because you've got Dwight Howard, you've got Clint Capella, and they've been getting the majority of minutes this year, and you've got Terrence Jones, who's a restricted free agent next year, and you've got Justin's favorite player of all time, Dante Mantas, who's a restricted free agent this year, and he's been dealing with injuries. But I guess you have to make a decision at some point. You don't need all four of these guys on your team. The fits are just repetitive.
And Capella's been great.
Right. And I mean, Capella's numbers have been better than Dwight Howard's numbers have been this year. So the question is,
other question behind Howard. Like, do you trade him?
And that's what they're going to have to decide, is do you want to bring back these young guys, or do you want to... Is the Dwight Howard experiment over? Is it time to move on from Dwight Howard? I mean, and obviously it's not an easy decision, but I mean, I agree with Tim in the sense that if you're Houston, you went all in this year.
Well, there's another one of our mailbag questions brings it up, so I guess we don't have to hit it here. But there's another question regarding Howard and the Heat, but we can get into that a little later. If you're the Rockets, what are you looking for? Like, what is the main area of concern that you need to address?
You want to consolidate some of that roster, I think, with them. I mean, Kevin just brought up all the power forwards they have,
right?
And if you're going into this coming offseason, you have Jones. And Monte Eunice both being restricted free agents who are probably going to command somewhere of upwards of $10 million apiece for their contracts, that the Rockets are probably looking at consolidating, at least to a certain extent, because you have and Harrell's been really good too. We haven't mentioned that. And they have Harrell on the books for the next 3 years for like $1 million apiece. And then Clint Capella, a little over $1 million, 1.2. You want to consolidate those players, because otherwise, are you going to be able to match that offer sheet? All these teams are going to have cap space going into the summer, so sell now. One trade that's been brought up a lot, and I think it's telling, and it's very possible, is that the Rockets ship off KJ, they get rid of Corey Brewer's contract and Terrence Jones's contract in exchange for Markieff Morris. And that's a really good way to consolidate the roster with a reasonably inexpensive player. And that's why that January 15th date makes so much sense, because they can't actually trade Corey Brewer until the 15th.
That'd be an interesting move.
I think with Dwight Howard, it's one of those things. Kevin just brought this up a minute ago. Is the experiment over? And I mean, is Dwight Howard in any way at this point in his career worth over $20 million a year?
No.
When you can get that kind of production from Clint Capella at a little over a million.
Right. My thing, though, is would I just know how emotions are already running with Howard and Harden, and then you throw an emotional Markieff in there.
I think with Markieff,
I can't imagine that going over well.
Look at how Marcus responded in Detroit.
Amazingly. Right. Like, we joked about how the brothers switched, and that's what happened.
But. I mean, Markieff is going, when he's on a new team, I think he's going to have a lot to prove. I think he's just going to be happy to be away from Phoenix. Phoenix doesn't want him. He doesn't want to be in Phoenix. I just think that when he goes to a new team that he's gonna be on a tear for a couple of months.
Okay. I just don't know.
Now, let's talk about the Miami Heat now that we're talking about centers. Hassan Whiteside.
Yeah, they're talking about I heard he's in trade rumors,
too. Well, they're just not going to have the money to pay him next year. I mean, right. There's no way around it. Whiteside is going to command a lot of money next year, and the Heat don't have the money to bring him back.
I was hearing I don't know the exact how everything would work out, but somehow Whiteside would go, Howard would end up in Miami, and then DeMarcus Cousins was involved also.
That's like the blockbuster of the century.
Right. And then, but they
not
were
not really, but you know.
But they were talking about, I guess,
moving.
Because they were willing. They were saying they were willing to trade with. They almost traded with the Lakers during the draft with DeMarcus Cousins for Clarkson, Randall, and I believe there was another player involved.
Well, it would definitely be a three-team trade. Hassan Whiteside is on a minimum contract. He's not even making a million a year. The Heat are already over the luxury tax, and Dwight Howard's making $22 million.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like straight-up trade that's been tossed out there. Just isn't going to happen. I think the only way that the Heat could do it is if they threw in, like, dang McRoberts and Anderson.
Anderson is on the books. They said he was up for a trade
wants
him.
Who wants Chris Anderson at $5 million a year right now? Who? For what reason? What team could use Chris Anderson?
Well, and because everybody's got cap space.
Right.
That's the thing.
I also heard about the Timberwolves trying to do a Kevin Martin-Courtney Lee swap.
Oh, I'm really excited about this.
Do you think they'll do it?
No.
You're excited for it, but you don't think it's going to happen.
Well, I think that you look at Kevin Martin, who his numbers are at a career low. He's playing in Minnesota.
Didn't he have a wrist injury last year? So that could
be. You know, that's part of it. They're also like they're going younger. He doesn't really have a lot to play for right now. Whatever. He's just he's a vet. He's a good vet in a system where they don't really need him.
Mm-hmm.
And what teams can use shooting? If you look around the league, you got Miami, you got Chicago, Indiana could use a little bit of shooting. Mm-hmm. Orlando could use some shooting. Charlotte could use some shooting. A lot of teams could use some shooting. And I think there's a real possibility that they're able to move Kevin Martin and, you know, hopefully get something better than a second round draft pick.
Yeah, and he has a $7.3 million player option.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be
which he'll probably exercise, but
I would assume, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kevin Martin, I would.
I mean, that's a lot of money.
Right.
But then also we don't have a lot of money to start with, so mm-hmm. I feel like we would do it if it was like anything close to $1 million.
Right. Yeah, probably. But you're listening to Drive and Dish NBA podcast. Kevin Rafuse, Tim Tompkins, Justin Cuzzard. Follow us on Twitter at Drive and Dish NBA. You know, another team that we haven't talked about yet that I think it just seems like a move needs to be made because they need to figure out what exactly is going to happen. It's almost there's too many assets here, and that's
Celtics.
Boston. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. Boston. Like they have to do because like you look at the rotation. And David Lee, he's not really in it right now. And he's on an expiring deal, so I think there's a ton of value there. You know, Sullinger is going to be a restricted free agent this year. Olynyk is going to be a restricted free agent this year. You know, what are you going to do with them?
Mm-hmm.
And more importantly, the Celtics have 3 picks incoming this year. So just, you know, there's not going to be enough minutes in the rotation for all these guys. We know the Celtics, right, we know the Celtics have been building basically a roster that is able to go out and allow them to package for a superstar. But it just seems like this team is going to, and they're in the playoffs now. They got a great head coach in Brad Smith. And Brad Stevens, excuse me. You're right. Brad Smith is a football player. But I guess the question is, what is this team's identity going to be? And they have to just move something. So the question is, you know, I don't really see them as buyers unless it's a superstar, but you know, what do
Danny
you expect
Ainge
this team
that.
To do?
He went on Celtics radio and he said, consolidating quantity for quality right now is sort of something that we're looking to do, and you just brought this up. They have too many power forwards. I don't think we mentioned Jarebko. They have players who aren't getting enough minutes, like Kelly Olynyk.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're going to be going to the summer with, do they re-sign Jared Sullivan? They have all these really mediocre power forwards. They're playing Amir Johnson close to 30 minutes a game. David Lee's not even in the rotation.
Well, I wanted to bring up the other part of that interview. What he said right after that is, we like a lot of our players. We don't have to do anything by the trade line, but they are looking.
Right.
So if they don't see something that's
Well, you don't want to sell low. Again, we say this all the time. You don't want to sell low on any of these guys, but it's just, you know, we need to – something has to give here. No, I mean, I don't know. I expect them to be pretty active at the deadline. And they have, like I said, they built up all these assets for a reason.
Now, the other thing that I wanted to bring up, which I'm sure is just kind of smoke and no fire, but it came out that DeMar DeRozan plans to opt out.
Yeah, he's going to opt out to re-sign, and he absolutely should. I mean, DeMar DeRozan is having a career year right now.
I agree. He said he wants to stay with the Raptors, but you know how it happens when they opt out. Then everybody's like, oh, he's going to go here, he's going to go there. One of the teams being the Lakers. Do you think? I mean, he said he wants to go back with the Raptors, but do you think someone's going to offer him too much and he's going
to
leave?
Why would he go to the Lakers?
Because it's L.A. It's L.A. It doesn't matter. I mean, the Lakers are always going to be a destination, whether they're good or not, whether they deserve to be or not.
L.A. is his hometown.
I'm thinking of him as a guard. I guess with their... With their coach, who doesn't want him to shoot threes, DeMar DeRozan is a really, like, that could be a really good spot for
him. It is. Nobody likes mid-range gunning jumpers more than DeMar DeRozan, except for maybe Lou Will.
He's actually, like, his numbers from behind the three-point arc have definitely been up this year.
This year he's playing, like, don't take any of that as a slight on DeMar DeRozan. He's quality
great
this year. Like, he's putting a lot of good minutes for this Raptors team.
And not to mention, he's pretty good on the defensive side, right?
Yeah, it's hard to spend an equal amount of time watching every single team in the league, and I was watching the Raptors the other day, and I was a little bit surprised to see how much DeMar DeRozan is taking the ball handling responsibilities away from Lowry, which is a huge asset to Lowry, so he can take a little bit of time off, you know, for like 3-4 minute stretches. But I mean, there's stretches down, 2 or 3 minutes with Lowry only touching the ball once or twice, and that's because DeRozan is such a good playmaker. He's had really good ball handling skills. Looking at his per game this year, he's playing 36 minutes a game. He is shooting 44%. Shooting 30% from behind the arc, effective field goal percentage of 45%. Anyway, he's averaging 23 points a game this year while also contributing 4 assists. And he's one of the, I think, in the top 3 as far as players go for getting to the foul line, which has a ton of value itself. It not only gets you scoring the ball, but it also puts the other team in the bonus and gets their best players out of the game.
Which actually you've mentioned in the past for Harden, that you said is a good... You don't like it, but it's a good thing that he does because it puts teams in a tough spot.
I don't like the how he does it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas,
fishing?
Yeah.
Foul fishing?
I think DeRozan's actually he's trying to take the shot, whereas Harden just...
I don't want to get too off topic, but there's a question on Mailbag that I'm so excited for you to have to answer.
There's a lot of good questions for Tim to answer in Mailbag this week.
I haven't even read them yet. I'm scared.
That's why I'm so excited.
You should be.
That's why I'm so excited that you haven't read them yet. Like, I was just looking through and I was like, oh, I'm so excited for this.
That was my Yoda voice too, by the way. The you should be. That's one for the Star Wars fans out there.
I try and make a point of not reading the Mailbag questions until we have to answer them, so we get like the off the top of our head honest response.
I was thinking the same thing, but we had so many this week, which is great. So that was why I was like, man, we're getting so many.
We're going to split them up between 2 episodes.
So you are listening to the Drive and Dish NBA podcast. Justin, Kevin, and Tim. That was terrible.
That was really good.
Hit us up on Facebook.
Quality rejoin.
Hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/Drive and Dish podcast. So the Clippers, without Blake Griffin, are actually playing really well.
This happened last year, I think, when Chris Paul went out too, and the Clippers just like went on a tear. And it's funny because when one player doesn't play, whether or not that is Chris Paul or Blake Griffin,
they like everyone
they
else
do
steps
really
up.
Well.
Well, yeah, and like that's the thing is Griffin was playing really well when he was there, 23 points per game, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. But like, so I was trying to figure out who's like the guy that's like stepping up most. I guess you know the main dude.
Dude, Josh Smith.
I was going to go J.J. Redick.
Him too.
I was going to go J.J. Redick. He's actually shooting 49.1% from beyond the arc, which is actually just behind Kawhi Leonard.
Second best shooter in the league?
Yeah.
Opinions?
I mean, he's always known for his shooting.
I honestly would have to think about that. I don't know. You kind of caught me off guard there. I don't know. I mean, Curry's obviously one. He's probably...
Right, that's why I said second best.
Yeah. No. I'm saying he's got a case for it. I'm trying to run through a few in my head. I mean, Bellinelli's a really good 3-point shooter that I feel like kind of gets slept on a little bit.
Klay Thompson
plays
knows how
up
to shoot
there.
The ball.
Klay Thompson has been on fire recently.
Kyle Korver's still up there.
Kyle Korver. Pete, Wait.
Wait, who did he say?
I would say he totally slid that one in.
I didn't hear that one.
But in the last five games, Redick is averaging 19 points per game on 55% shooting from the field and 56% from beyond the arc, 18 for 32.
Let me ask you a question. I wonder how much you can attribute that to the extra floor spacing that Paul Pierce gives you, mm-hmm. and why if it makes J.J. Redick that much better, knowing that he has that threat behind the arc at the four. I mean, obviously Blake Griffin can shoot, and he's proven that he's getting better, but you still have, like, you can shy off of Blake Griffin until he starts making those shots.
Well, the problem is sometimes you have to.
Well, you want him to beat you that way. You want Blake Griffin to beat you, but live and die by his jumper. You know, it's a lot
I'd say
better.
That, except for when the Suns lost to that fadeaway jumper by Blake Griffin behind the arc, three-point shot last year. That was toughly contested.
That literally was the game that separated you from the playoffs.
Yeah. Way to lose.
The other thing I wanted to bring up, I mentioned this to Tim before we started recording, but Portland played the Clippers last night, and CJ McCollum wasn't able to play because of a mistake.
Yeah, what in the world? That's so bizarre.
Hilarious. It's true, though.
Who did somebody get fired? Like, please tell me somebody got fired for that.
I feel like, but the dude's averaging like 21 points per game. This year
is McCollum's coming out party.
But we called that. We called that in the offseason.
I think everyone called that. Yeah. I want to give us credit, but I think everyone called that this offseason.
Yeah. He's not doing it efficiently. Like, I like CJ McCollum. He's fine. He's good. Dude, he's putting up like 18 shots a game to get this.
Well, who else is going to put up 18 shots a game other than him and Lillard?
Is he on your Harden list?
No. I don't mind the kid. It's just, I think it should be noted how... Yeah, somebody's scoring this much, but how are they scoring
that? That unofficially is going to be your players that Tim just doesn't like for all time. Like, even well after, hopefully, if we're still doing this years from now, James Harden's gone, it's going to be the James Harden list.
Well, I was talking to you about it, and I was trying to figure out, because there's certain few players I don't like, and I was like, you know, why don't I like about it? And I was trying to reach within my soul to figure out why I didn't like these certain
players. You should pass it on.
I am passing it on right now. That's exactly what I'm doing.
Okay.
And I'm not a huge Kyrie guy either. And I think I just really don't like ball dominant scoring guards is what it comes down to.
Okay. So do you like Damian Lillard? Do you like Westbrook?
I think that Westbrook has at least played defense before.
Well, Westbrook is by far the best facilitator of the three, and Harden's a better facilitator than Kyrie is.
Yeah, I mean, there was one game.
Yeah, the playoff game where he had zero assists.
Yeah, it was like 18 shots and zero assists, and I think you and I got into an argument about it, actually, but I just, you know, that's not a stat line. LeBron James got onto him about it. You can't put up 18 shots and have zero assists as a point guard.
Well, I think that ideally with Kyrie Irving, I think his best ultimate scenario, if you're going to put him into your lineup, would have him play off the ball.
He absolutely should be playing off the ball.
I kind of have it, you know, I compared to you earlier, like, I hate bringing up Phoenix comparisons because that's what we do all the time, but I compare it to when, you know, when you guys had Dragic and Bledsoe, is you have Kyrie be that off-the-ball shooting guard. I mean, he would dominate as an off-the-ball shooting guard. And we talked about this, too. It's a fun fact, but I'll ask Justin, too, since Tim and I had this discussion the other day. Uh-oh. Justin, do you think there's anyone who has a better handle in the league than Kyrie Irving?
Oh, I thought you were going to say me.
Than Kyrie Irving? I mean...
Yeah, is Kyrie's handle the best in the league?
I don't know, man. Steph Curry's really...
It's one or the other for me.
Getting known for it now.
Yeah, but Kyrie, man. I think people have slept on Kyrie's handle.
Yeah,
Like, Curry's everywhere, because Curry, and we've talked about this before, Steph Curry is just the most vinable player of all time. And
right.
That's what his highlights, and he's just so fun to watch, and you're constantly flooded with Warriors highlights. It's not a bad thing. They're defending champs. They're super fun to watch. You know, I enjoy taking in Warriors games, but it kind of makes you sleep on some other people. You know, Kyrie Irving's handle is nasty.
I mean, I guess I'll agree with you there. If it's not Curry, it's Kyrie, and they're close at this point.
Now that we're talking about Curry and Kyrie, I think that this would be a great time that we update the All-Star votes, All-Star voting balloting. And I would just like to say that the All-Star ban from myself, if Kyrie makes it in over John Wall, is still in effect.
Well, Justin said last week he wasn't going to watch it either.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I can't hold Justin to his comments. I don't know about Justin's integrity. I can tell you guys, I can only speak for myself.
That's fair.
That promise remains.
I will. No, I'll stick. I'm a man of my word. Okay. Well, I'll stick with it.
And right. I do want to see the skills challenge.
The skills challenge. I'm not going to hold you guys to that. The skills challenge in the three-point shootout and the dunk cut. Well, last year's dunk contest.
All right, so the skills challenge and the three-point shootout.
That's the best part of All-Star Weekend to me.
Yeah, I'm interested to see who they...
Dunk contest was great. Come on, LaVine was entertaining last year. I'm as down on the dunk contest as you are, but LaVine was really good last year, and Oladipo's 360 was sweet last year.
Well, so an update on the guards of the East.
Uh-huh.
And if we are going to be boycotting...
Oh, no, I can tell by your laughing.
Oh, you're
going to
be boycotting. Any tweet that gets sent from our account during the All-Star game is going to be for me, because I already know, because it's going to happen.
I'll just read the top five right now. In order, D-Wade. Number two, Kyrie Irving.
Awesome.
Number three, Kyle Lowry, Jimmy Butler, and then John Wall.
So wait, just to clarify, this is if Kyrie starts or if John Wall doesn't make the
All-Star
team?
If Kyrie is fan voted in...
Over Wall. And right now he is actually over Wall by a good amount.
Okay.
By almost 70,000, a little less than 70,000 votes.
But just to be clear, so John Wall, he has to be on the All-Star team or he has to be in the starting lineup?
Voted in. So starting lineup, he has to be in the starting lineup.
Okay. So he has to be top two.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he doesn't have to be top two as long as Kyrie doesn't get in over him.
Well, at the moment.
Due to...
Well, Wade's going to get in. I mean, Wade's going to get in off the strength of the fact that he's Dwayne Wade. And, I mean, to be fair, Dwayne Wade looks like Dwayne Wade this year,
dude,
if you watch
Wade's
Miami
been
games.
Brilliant.
Yeah, like, he looks healthy. He himself has said this is the healthiest he's been since he bruised that knee almost 2 years ago now. So, Wade, I mean, he's just one of those players. Dwayne Wade is a legend. He's going to get into the All-Star game.
Well, the top five players for the front court in the East are LeBron, Paul George, Andre Drummond, Carmelo, and Paul Gasol.
Fans are getting smarter at voting quietly. It's been a slow turnaround, but they're quietly getting better at voting.
Valanciunas is in the top 15. I don't know if that discredits your last statement at all.
No, I mean...
But he is in that
last. No, because he's playing well. The Raptors are playing well. It's in the top 15.
I'm happy with the guards of the West. They're actually what we want them to be. Right now it's Curry, Westbrook, Paul, Thompson, Harden. Top five in that order. Curry won, obviously. And then the front court for the West is Kobe, Durant, Draymond Green, Kawhi Leonard, Blake Griffin, top five so far.
At least, like, basketball fans aren't trolling the way hockey fans are. I don't know if you guys aren't as big NHL fans, but in hockey, there's four all-star captains, and they pick their teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the fourth captain this year, they represent each division. And the Pacific Division captain this year is this guy named John Scott. He plays for Phoenix. John Scott has been, I think he's been waived three times this year. He has appeared in like six games. He's an enforcer. He's an off the bench. I mean, this would be the NBA equivalent of
bringing in Kendrick Perkins.
Yeah, like Kendrick Perkins being a first ballot all-star right now. And that's just like, it's crazy. The basketball fans aren't quite as trolly as hockey fans are.
So I got the comparison numbers up.
Okay.
That's why I was quiet the last couple of minutes. John Wall, this season, let's also keep in mind the fact that he's played 24 more games, whatever it might be. He's averaging a 3.5, 4 rebounds, 9.6 assists, 2 steals, almost a block, and 19.6 points.
Mm-hmm.
Kyrie Irving, 1 3-pointer, 2.6 rebounds, 3.8 assists, almost a steal, 0.1 blocks, and 16.9 points. If Kyrie Irving makes it in over John Wall, having played four games with all of his stat lines being worse, apart from like free throw percentage, I'm done.
You're done?
I'm done.
With the All-Star game?
They have to come up with a different way because fans are too stupid.
But
to allow this.
But it's not, but it's a fan game. It goes back to the debate. You know, I don't love it either, but if it's a game voted on by the fans for the fans, it's who the fans want to see. If they want to see Kyrie Irving, they want to see Kyrie Irving. It's what do you want the All-Star game to be? I mean, we've had this debate a billion times. If we're going off merit, then yes, John Wall absolutely should be in the game over Kyrie Irving. None of us here will argue that.
If Donald Trump is voted president, I'm also moving. If Americans are too stupid to understand that this person shouldn't be president, I'm not sticking up for
but
them
there's
anymore.
A big, but there's a big difference.
No. I cannot. You cannot say.
There's a huge difference between Donald Trump being elected president and Kyrie Irving getting into
but
the All-Star
But it's not just okay because that's the people. That's the person that people want to see. There has to come a point in which you have to be able to recognize the difference between a player's contributions to the team that he's on and to pretend that Kyrie Irving this season.
But it's an exhibition game. It's what the fans want to see.
Remotely deserves to be an all-star over other players who have been great all season. And I could name seven guards in the East.
But it's going to be the same thing in the West when Kobe gets in.
Well, I mean, I'm not arguing that. I don't care. I think that I want to see Kobe in it myself. Well, I don't think he deserves that spot over other players. He's played terribly.
But it's his last year.
It's his last year.
He's played better recently.
Got it off merit, I guess.
But no, and you get it off. I mean, it's just like, we have to accept it for what it is. Like, I don't get mad over all-star votes anymore.
Well, I'm not getting mad. I mean, we're doing a show on basketball. I don't sit at home at night.
You know what I mean. Mad on the show.
I can just see that. I mean, sitting in your bed just like, damn it, Kyrie is gonna be in there. I can't even sleep.
No, no. I mean, I have much better things in my life to do, but I'm still allowed to have an opinion. We're doing a show, so we have opinions, and I'm not just gonna skate around every opinion because it's like the cool thing to do. Well, no, like I want to put my opinion out there. I don't care if people agree with me.
Well, we know, like we all agree that Wall is more deserving. It's just like, you know, we have to decide what we want the All-Star game to be. It's just, if you want it to be the best players truly in the league, then we shouldn't have Kobe Bryant or Dwayne Wade or a lot of these other guys in the
necessarily. Dwayne Wade has been fantastic.
No, Wade has been All-Star caliber, but in the past, like, we've seen him get in. You know, we saw KG get into all these All-Star games that he probably didn't deserve to be in towards the end of his career, or in the last few years, I should say. Mm-hmm. But just, you know, you have to just decide what you want it to be, and that's the question. But there's a huge difference, man. If Trump becomes president, I'm leaving America right there with you. But that's not.
Canada won't let us back in, or won't let us back in, won't let us in.
Why?
Is that you have to have a better reason than. You have to have a skill that Canada needs. They won't just grant
you.
It's like New Zealand. New Zealand's the same way. You can't get citizenship in New Zealand if you don't benefit the country in some way.
How do you know that?
My aunt is from New Zealand.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah.
There's more sheep than people in
New Zealand.
I feel
like I'm about to get a lot of hate from Australians.
Sister has a house in New Zealand.
Yep.
Yeah.
But really?
Yeah.
Why have you not told us this?
Why don't we go visit?
It's not like I go visit.
Well, we should go visit.
So while we're on the subject,
just totally gonna brush that off. Like we can't go to New Zealand now.
While we're on the subject of visiting, why don't we visit the Drive and Dougal segment?
Please teach me how to play basketball.
Gee, let me think. Sure.
The Drive and Dougal.
Wait, what's that?
It's like Google, if it's just the NBA.
As trade season ramps up this week, let's talk about what a trade exception is on this week's Drive and Dougal. If a team trades away a player with a higher salary than the player they acquired in return, they receive a traded player exception, also known as a trade exception. Teams with the trade exception have up to a year in which they can acquire more salary in other trades. For example, the Warriors right now have until June to use a $5 million trade exception they received when they shipped off David Lee to the Boston Celtics. They're handy for teams, especially teams near the salary cap, but often they don't get used. And that was this week's Drive and Dougal.
You've got mail.
All right, so the first question comes from Dave Massey. He asks, what are the odds of Dwight Howard getting traded to Miami or the Cavs? Does that sound like something that could happen this year or in the offseason?
We went through the trade machine figuring this out earlier. I can't really figure out a way that Miami can get Dwight Howard without unloading a lot for him. I mean, Miami's over the tax. I think it would be really hard. And as far as Cleveland has that $10 million player exception. I mean, I guess it's technically possible. But if you look at Cleveland's roster, where they already have so many guys that need the ball in their hand, you have LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love. Kevin Love arguably isn't getting enough shots as is. Do you want to add somebody like Dwight Howard to that mix? Or is keeping Tristan Thompson, somebody who doesn't need the ball in his hand, the better way to go? Like, I don't see a scenario in which it happens for either of those.
I don't know. I for Miami, maybe.
Oh, it's not possible. That's
well, yeah, we're talking about Miami not having enough cap space to re-sign Whiteside, and unless Dwight takes a serious pay cut, like David West style, mm-hmm. to chase a ring, I just can't see it.
Well, there's not a way that he can get traded over there either. Like, Miami can't take on that much. They're already over the cap. They can't take Dwight Howard without giving up that amount of money. So you have Dwight Howard making $22
million.
They have to give up $22 million worth of salary. So how do you do that if you're Miami? I mean, you can't.
Yeah, for the Cavs, I don't see it. Like, this Thompson thing's working out right now. So I say play with that and see how that's going. You're already paying Thompson so much money anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a guy out here predicting that they think somehow the Kings are going to get involved, and he says that Howard will be in Miami by the end of the season.
It would take a third team to make that happen. Mm-hmm. And I think that if Miami, if you can make that happen somehow, that you do it, you would have to have that
30-year-old guys make a pretty big run.
Well, I think as far as Miami goes, like, Miami's been really good this year. Mm-hmm. Hassan Whiteside has been impactful, but you know you don't have the money aside him. Why not? You know, this year's kind of a win now year for Miami. If you can't re-sign Whiteside anyway, then you might as well try and win right now.
Get something for him, too.
Yeah, I mean, they're arguably the second-best team in the East.
Okay.
All right, so the next question comes from George Ingerman, which, welcome, George, to the mailbag. This is a first-time mailbag question asker. He asks, we all know the East is way better this year, but there are still teams underperforming, specifically the Wizards, Hornets, and Bucks. Of those teams, which has the brighter future going forward, and what do they need to get into the mix competitively?
I guess the Bucks probably have the brightest future.
That's what I'm thinking,
moving
too.
Forward, but it depends on what do you mean by the future, the next year or the next, like, 3 years? The next year, the Wizards probably. Mm-hmm. The Hornets, if you know, everyone can get healthy again because they're so injured this year.
Well, the Wiz have the advantage of having John Wall. You know, everybody searches in the NBA for that guy, and the Wizards have their guy. John Wall is the no-doubt bona fide superstar. So I think that also plays a huge factor in this. I don't know that the Hornets and the Bucks have that guy. I mean, for the Bucks, the Bucks could
tell that to Giannis fans.
Dude, I don't just – I'm waiting on the leap. I love Giannis as much as everybody, but I just – Giannis needs to put it all together. The jump shot just hasn't developed the way people have wanted it. So he always gets the Kevin Durant comparisons. And there's no doubt that in terms of pure athleticism, he is off the charts good. But I need to see it become a complete game before I dub Giannis the guy.
Chris Middleton's been really good for him.
He actually has. I have him in fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
It's been paying off pretty well. Yeah, I think we can all collectively agree the Hornets are like the bottom of those three teams that he just said, mainly because of injuries at the moment, mm-hmm. but also... I just feel like they got to figure out their direction, I guess.
Yeah, Kimba has come on this year and been really effective, and he's shooting so much better, and he's assisting so much better. His assist to turnover rate is up. Kimba's turned into the point guard that they needed.
All right.
Nick Batum, if they can re-sign Nick Batum, that's like once Nick Batum went out, like they lost MKG, they lost Al Jefferson. None of that mattered.
Right.
Nick Batum goes down, they can't win a game.
Well, that's the thing is you got to hope for the Hornets' sake that you keep Batum next year and he doesn't leave. And just it's a big question with Kemba Walker. Kemba Walker looked like the guy this year, but do you want to pay him off one season?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah,
it's a contract year.
I think unless you can get something better, like Kemba Walker's been good, you have to surround him with the right people, like you do pretty much any other player. But just because somebody's not Chris Paul or somebody isn't Russell Westbrook doesn't mean that they aren't valuable. I think that you re-sign Jeff Teague, too. I don't think that every single player that just because they aren't an absolute superstar means that they aren't valuable.
Yeah, but that's not remotely what I'm saying. I think Jeff Teague is a better player than Kemba Walker. I'm saying we haven't seen any consistency out of Kemba Walker. This is the first year where we've seen it. It's a contract year. You love the contract year theory.
I do love the contract year theory, but Kemba Walker's coming off of his rookie scale, right? So it's a rookie scale signing.
Yeah.
So it's like the Brendan or Gordon Hayward, mm-hmm. where you're signing a max contract off a rookie scale is much different than a max contract off a veteran scale.
Yeah, I think it's just you have to have a really serious debate about how much you want to pay him and what you think Kemba. Obviously, there's going to be with the cap going up, you can throw a lot of money at him, but the question is, how much money do you want to throw at Kemba Walker? That's a big decision that I think the Hornets are going to have to make. I just don't think that's as cut and dry, but in terms of I still think the Wizards immediately are the best of these teams going forward. I think the Bucks though have the best long-term game. I think we all mm-hmm. agree on that.
Mm-hmm. And they're getting a new arena.
Yeah, yeah. That Scott Walker
a little controversial.
Scott Walker made the taxpayers pay for, not the billion-dollar organization. But we're not going to get political today on the podcast. So the next question comes from this is just mailbag is just the roast Tim week. So I'm trying to spread these out so that it's not like too much roasting at Tim. But let's just not waste any more time. The next question comes from Michael Coombs, who asks Tim, my question is, now that the Suns suck, are you going to focus more on your fantasy basketball?
Dude, I'm number one in the league. What do you mean focus more? Like I'm number one,
but like really pour your focus into it.
I'm the best team in the league. I've been trying to send trades because I get bored. I have like three of the top five assisting players, so I have way too many assists. I wish somebody would trade me like a good percentage rebounding big man who can hit free throws for somebody. But, I mean, what do you mean by concentrating more? I'm number one in the league. Bam. Maybe Kevin should concentrate more.
Oh,
I mean, it's been tough. Kevin's like, you lost Nick Batum. You lost Eric Bledsoe. It's been a tough year for you.
Yeah, it's been tough. You know, it's been injuries. And Tim really wants to win. Like, this is Tim's existence is winning the league this year. Like, Tim has this irrational thing about, like, I forget what I was talking about this. Oh, I was talking about this with Gene. Tim just, like, Tim and I are really good friends. Like, we both know this. It's been talked about a billion times. But Tim loves beating me at things. I mean, Tim really, like, it's like Tim's day is made if he beats me at something. It's kind of fun.
I just want to say, though, like, it's cool. I just want to say, though, Tim is number one. I'm number three.
Yeah.
Where are you?
Right.
I don't think I made a transaction in like 3 weeks.
Well, yeah, exactly. So if that guy wants to talk about me trying harder, like.
Well, you definitely try harder.
Yeah.
But, all right. So the next question comes from.
Jesus.
And you know what, Tim? You actually can relate the most to this question, too. And this one isn't about you, but you actually can relate to this one. This one's from Yanni Villagine. He asks, am I the only colorblind person who hates that both home and visiting teams wear dark jerseys? Totally unwatchable. And side note, Bobby Portis is a beast.
Dude, Portis. Yeah, we didn't get a chance to talk about Portis yet, but that really makes the Bulls situation, their power forward rotation going forward, interesting.
Oh, yeah. We talked about it in the draft, I thought, going back to the draft last year, if you listen to our draft episode, we thought for value, like, it didn't make sense that Bobby Portis slipped as fell as he did. That was such a good pick for the Spurs. Like, the draft god shined on them.
You mean for the Bulls?
Or for the Bulls, excuse me. Yeah, I don't know why I'm saying Spurs, for the Bulls.
Well, yeah, that's because the Spurs got Simmons, who I wish we had a chance to talk about a bit more than we have.
No, I'm still on that Spurs mentality. Which, side note, I guess this is where we should say, we have a Spurs episode dropping this week.
We didn't talk about Jonathan Simmons. I wish we would have. He's been fantastic.
Oh, yeah, Jonathan Simmons. That was a good mention we should have hit, but it is.
All right, but yeah, Tim, I'm not colorblind, so
I mean,
you're
it depends.
Slightly
like,
colorblind.
I mean, I'm green-red colorblind, and so it matters. But yeah, I mean, I like it.
So, like, if the Bucks played the Clippers and they wore...
I actually just have a really hard time with red. So when they're like all wearing red on the court, it
Rockets.
All like blends together in this really weird way for me. I have a hard time reading and figuring out.
Rockets and
are.
Raptors, you must hate that.
Yeah, the Raptors red is okay. The Rockets red's a bit harder for me.
Okay.
The story about how you found out you're colorblind is still one of the funniest things I've heard in a while.
You know it. Well, you don't know what you don't know.
Oh, I understand. Oh, trust me, I understand. I can't. You know, one of my best friend is colorblind. Like, I completely understand. I mean, I'm not, but I can imagine it's a pain. I mean, I remember.
Well, you just don't know. Like, you have no idea.
Yeah. Well, it's like, like, I could, in theory, maybe I'm seeing purple wrong, for example. I wouldn't know that. It's what you always see it as. But anyway, we're getting off topic here. So the next question comes from Stuart O'Kell. He asks, which player would Tim prefer on his team, James Harden or Kyrie Irving?
This was the one
I know
I'm
he's a big
about.
Fan of both.
With Harden getting at least almost 7 assists this year, come on.
Kyrie.
What?
Tim hates James Harden.
Well,
Tim
I feel like
hates
I was actually.
James Harden.
I also, I'm not a Kyrie guy.
With
but
the injuries, though, come on. Harden will play a whole season for you.
Ding, ding, ding. That's why I take Harden, too.
Yeah.
Is for the injury risk alone.
When we had our argument a couple weeks ago, our discussion, I should say, is the point of the discussion was not who we think is the best shooting guard. It was which shooting guard would you rather have. And the point I was trying to make that I didn't articulate well enough was that I believe, and if the theory's right, then that's fine. If it's not, if you don't agree, that's fine too. But I believe that James Harden must be a number one in order to be on a team now. Not used to be, but now.
Okay.
But I don't think that you can win with James Harden as a number one. So therefore, even if he's fantastic, if you can never win a championship with him as your number one, then what's the point? That was a broader argument. Now, this year with Kyrie Irving, I feel like Kyrie Irving is proving that he can play with a different number one. And because of seeing that with Kyrie Irving this year, I'd rather have Kyrie Irving playing off the ball as a shooting guard. He's not a point guard. That needs to be done. He's not a point guard.
But he's okay.
I don't care what position you play.
Okay.
I don't think James Harden's a shooting guard. I think James Harden's a point guard.
So Kyrie Irving is your answer to the question.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, thank you everybody so much for listening to this episode of the Drive and Dish podcast. I just want to say as a reminder is that we had a lot of listeners mention that we should try and break in with video more than we do. So we listened to you, and this week we put this episode of the completely unedited version on our website. It's on the front page of driveanddishpodcast.com. Go watch it or don't watch it. I don't really care. But... if you don't get anything out of it, let us know, because it's kind of a pain. So we want to know if did you enjoy it or did you not? Because there's no reason to keep doing something people don't enjoy. Anyway, the video's up if you want to watch it, driveanddishpodcast.com.
And tweet us what you think afterwards at driveanddishnba. You could tweet all of us individually if you want. I'm at Justin C on the air. Kevin's at Refuse to Lose, and Tim's at Radio Tim NBA.
Side note, I want to just get this in before we close this episode out. Oh. I can't believe we forgot Chris Paul in the handles discussion. How did we forget Chris Paul in the handles discussion? Seriously, that's like an error that we kind of catch there. But anyway, you should listen to the show. It's on iTunes. Make sure you check us out there. If you're not listening to us on an iPhone or an Apple product, check us out. We're on Stitcher. We're on Player FM. We're in the Google Play Store now. All of our episodes are driveanddishpodcast.com, so check it out there. But we got a this is our regular episode, so we got a few episodes for you guys coming this week, so make sure you stay tuned for that. We don't want to give too much away, but yeah, keep it locked.
I think we've done enough dancing for today, so why don't we dance Wednesday?
See you, star side.
Okay, well, I'm out of here. Pigeon hole!
Hey! Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da! Hey!
Let's go while we're young!
All right, I think they get the point.